Hello, everyone. Welcome to Zion's Trumpet again tonight, Sunday the 29th. Unfortunately, the chat session, I lost it. There was a technical problem with my recording program. I apologize to Irma, James. Sorry, I lost all you guys. But I wanted to share what we were talking about tonight, so I'm going to just do it again. You probably have all heard about the whole ordeal with Chick-fil-A. The president of Chick-fil-A announced he was against gay marriage a week or so ago, and the militant gay movement went berserk and had pulled all kinds of stunts about this and putting pressure on this guy. And so I thought I was going to talk about this militant homosexual movement and what's going on in the country, because it's one of the evils that God is going to judge, and deservedly so. See, when God judges this country, you're not really going to be in his side when you see all this blood and destruction unless you know that this country deserves it. So we need a vision, an understanding of just how evil America is. Not just the government, but many of the people. And that this nation in general deserves judgment. And the only way you're going to really be on God's side is if you see how evil we as a people are. And that we deserve it. Abraham Lincoln said, "The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next." Founding fathers knew that whatever you teach children in school, that's going to produce the next society. And that's why they wanted the Bible in school. They wanted the Bible to be the textbook. And for many years, the Bible was the only textbook used in schools. And when other textbooks began to be used in schools, many of our Christian leaders decried that and pleaded with the people not to put anything but the Bible, because eventually those books would replace the Bible, and eventually they did. So the forefathers of our nation and the early leaders of our nation had great insight, political insight, governmental insight, religious insight. They were brilliant men, and they were wise, and God added to their wisdom. He supernaturally anointed them to create this country. So whatever goes on in school, that's going to produce the next generation, and those people are going to be what they learned. And that's what the country is going to eventually become. Now, it's hard to believe that 50 years ago, just 50 years ago, the homosexual movement was an underground subculture, and it was shunned by the vast majority of the American public because of its practice of illegal sexual deviance. It was illegal. Well, how did such a movement go from that to today? It's a global and cultural political force that has greater influence in the legislatures and courtrooms of the Western world than any Christian or Christian church or Christian organization does. Well, in the natural realm, the answer is that this movement adopted several key strategies. First, they deliberately infiltrated all levels of government and business, which eventually paved the way for future pro-homosexual legislation. Second, they infiltrated the public education system. And even though these people despise the moral values and the religious convictions of the founders of America, apparently some of them had enough brains to recognize the wisdom those men had in matters of government and education. And they recognized that what Lincoln said was true. And if they could become the masters of the schools in America, it would only be a matter of time before they could achieve all their political and cultural goals. Third, they became very adept at playing the victim card. They knew that Americans tend to always, you know, support the underdog. And they brilliantly used that cultural trait that we have against us. They began to spin the whole homosexual issue as a civil rights issue, as an issue of liberty. And that had a powerful, almost paralyzing effect on those who opposed homosexuality. And it gave homosexuals a very distinct advantage in the public sphere. As the writers of One Homosexual Movement Handbook said, "In any campaign to win over the public, gays must be portrayed as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined, by reflex, to adopt the role of protector. The purpose of victim imagery is to make straights feel very uncomfortable, that is, to jam with shame the self-righteous pride that would ordinarily accompany and reward their anti-gay belligerence, and to lay the groundwork for the process of conversion by helping straights identify with gays and sympathize with their underdog status. The public should be persuaded that gays are victims of circumstances, that they no more chose their sexual orientation than they did, say, their height, skin color, talents, or limitations. Gays should be portrayed as victims of prejudice. The book from which those quotes were taken was written by two gay psychologists named Marshall Kirk and Hunter Manson. And according to them, filling people who reject homosexuality with shame was to be accomplished several ways. One was by linking their anti-gay views with Nazism. So they speak of Nazi concentration camps where homosexuals were tortured and gassed. They also advise militant gays to associate anyone who opposes their agenda with images of Klansmen, that's KKK people, demanding that gays be killed, or with hysterical backwood preachers damning gays to hell. As these men put it in their book, propagandistic advertisement can depict homophobic and homo-hating bigots as crude loudmouths. Does that sound familiar? Well, it should, if you've been paying attention to the way that mainstream media has been covering homosexual issues over the past 10 years. Of course, now if you're going to play the victim card, you've got to be a victim. Victim status requires a story to back it up. And so, back in 2000, we suddenly started hearing about this tidal wave of anti-gay hate crimes taking place all across the nation. The only problem was, the media was either blowing the few actual events that happened out of proportion, or they were completely fabricating them. An analysis of FBI statistics on hate crimes committed against gays from the years 2000 to 2008 revealed that the probability of any individual homosexual being the victim of a hate crime during his or her entire lifespan was a little bit more than 1%. 1%. That's hardly a tidal wave of anti-gay hate. But the real news from that report was that gays were more likely to commit hate crimes against normal people than the other way around. But of course, that statistic was never published. According to the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, which has been a leading tracker of violence against gays in the United States, 83% of all violence committed against gays is carried out by other gays and in domestic situations, not by normal people. So what began as a simple call for tolerance of the gay lifestyle 50 years ago has mushroomed into the complete takeover of America's educational and political systems by militant homosexuals. Back then, when Christians and conservative groups warned that tolerance of homosexuals was not the ultimate goal of these radical movements, they were laughed at by the majority of Americans. Now, maybe we can chalk that up to ignorance, but by 2008, the truth had become crystal clear. And from then on, those who laughed weren't laughing from ignorance. They were laughing because they were in denial. Today, homosexuals have gained the tolerance they want in spades. In fact, they're more than tolerated by the majority of Americans. They're celebrated, and they have become a de facto special class of protected citizens. Homosexuals are even allowed to teach their filthy lifestyle to children in public schools. But has all this satisfied them? No, they want more. At present, they're demanding that marriage be redefined so as to include same-sex couples. And once they've accomplished that, they're going to turn around and demand that same-sex marriage is the only definition of marriage. They're also demanding the right, that's the civil right, to have sex with children. As a matter of fact, the militant homosexual movement and various organized pedophile, that's child molesting groups, are now linked together in that common goal. Gay activists deny that they're targeting children, but evidence to the contrary is overwhelming. Public schools have become the unofficial, official wing of the homosexual movement. Gay teachers and activists are not only teaching a curriculum that is totally pro-homosexual, they're conducting extracurricular activities and extracurricular programs in public schools with our taxpayer dollars that deliberately usher children into the gay lifestyle. Just one example of those programs is one called the Gay Straight Association. These gay straight associations are being planted in schools all over the nation. As a matter of fact, there's so many militant homosexual groups in America right now, it's incredible, you can't believe it. And they've almost complete control of the schools of this nation through the National Education Association. That's why in almost every school you visit, you're going to find that it's okay to wear a gay pride t-shirt. But if a kid comes to school wearing a straight pride t-shirt, he's going to be suspended. He'll probably be beat up too. Now, the wicked and militant nature of the homosexual movement was clearly exposed back in 1987 when an up-and-coming gay leader named Michael Swift was asked to write an editorial piece for a sodomite magazine called Gay Community News. And the article was written on February 15, 1987. It was called Gay Revolutionary. Later it was entered into congressional records. This is what this sodomite said. Quote, "We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our bidding. They will be recast in our image. They will come to crave and adore us. Women, you cry for freedom. You say you're no longer satisfied with men. They make you unhappy. We shall take your men from you. We will amuse them. We will instruct them. We will embrace them when they weep. Women, you say you wish to live with each other instead of with men. Then go and be with each other. We shall give your men pleasures they have never known, because we are foremost men too, and only one man knows how to truly please another man. Only one man can understand the depth and feeling, the mind and body of another man. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals must stand together as brothers. We must be united artistically, philosophically, socially, politically, and financially. We will triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy. If you dare cry faggot, fairy, queer at us, we will stab you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead puny bodies. We shall write poems of love between men. We shall stage plays in which man openly caresses man. We shall make films about the love between heroic men, which will replace the cheap, superficial, sentimental, insipid, juvenile, heterosexual infatuations presently dominating your cinema screens. We shall sculpt statues of beautiful young men, of bold athletes, which will be placed in your parks, in your squares, in your plazas. The museums of the world will be filled only with paintings of graceful, naked lads. Our writers and artists will make love between men fashionable. And we will succeed because we are adept at setting styles. We will eliminate heterosexual liaisons through usage of devices of wit and ridicule, devices which we are skilled at employing. We will unmask the powerful homosexuals who masquerade as heterosexuals. And you will be shocked and frightened when you find that your presidents and their sons, your industrialists, your senators, your mayors, your generals, your athletes, your film stars, your television personalities, your civic leaders, your priests, are not the safe, familiar, heterosexual figures you assume them to be. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your ranks. Be careful when you speak of homosexuals, because we are always among you. We may be sitting across the desk from you. There will be no compromise. We are not middle-class weaklings. Highly intelligent, we are the natural aristocrats of the human race, and steely-minded aristocrats never settle for less. Those who oppose us will be exiled. We shall raise vast private armies to defeat you. We shall conquer the world because warriors inspired by and banded together by homosexual love and honor are invincible, as were the ancient Greek soldiers. The family unit, sprawling ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence, will be abolished. The family unit, which only dampens imaginations and curbs free will, must be eliminated. Perfect boys will be conceived and grown in the genetic laboratory. They will be bonded together in communal settings under the control and instruction of homosexual saviors. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. We adhere to a cult of beauty, moral and aesthetic. All that is ugly and vulgar and banal will be annihilated. Since we are alienated from middle-class heterosexuals, we are free to live our lives according to the dictates of pure imagination. For us, too much is not enough. The exquisite society to emerge will be governed by an elite comprised of gay poets. One of the major requirements for a position of power in the new society of homoeroticism will be indulgence in the Greek passion. Any man contaminated with heterosexual lust will be automatically barred from a position of influence. All males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. We shall rewrite history. History filled with debased with your heterosexual lies and distortions, we shall portray the homosexuality of the great leaders and thinkers who have shaped the world. We will demonstrate that homosexuality and intelligence and imagination are inextricably linked, and that homosexuality is a requirement for true nobility, true beauty in a man. We shall be victorious because we are fueled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed, who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the ages. We too are capable of firing guns and manning the barricades of the ultimate revolution. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks. That, my friends, is the spirit behind the militant homosexual movement. And those are its real goals. It's one of the most vile and bitter, God-hating movements that has ever been created in the history of mankind. And it controls more of American society and more of American government than most people could ever imagine. These perverts will continue to demand more and more until every facet of American culture and government is completely under their control. They will not be satisfied until every person who opposes them has been permanently silenced and the rest of us have become sexual perverts just like they are. Playing the victim card and having the liberal media back it up with lies and distortions has been so successful. The idea that homosexuals are a persecuted minority in America is no longer even questioned. For the majority of Americans, this is an established fact. And it's no longer even possible to question such an assumption, especially among young people today, especially in their universities. You know, the old idea that colleges and universities are to be a place where, you know, there's a free exchange of ideas, that's dead. That's been completely abolished. More than three-fourths of the colleges and universities in the United States now possess what's called codes of conduct that ban all behavior and speech which can possibly be construed as homophobic. And homophobic is defined as anybody that opposes anything these perverts are after. The squashing of dissenting views on homosexuality in the classroom, whether it's kindergarten, grade school, high school, or college campuses, has been going on for decades. Back in 1991, a student of the University of Michigan announced his intention to establish a counseling program to help homosexuals leave their lifestyle, and he was dragged before a panel of university administrators, unanimously found guilty of sexual harassment by them, and he was thrown out of university. Thrown out. Just because he wanted to help gays escape that lifestyle. In 2000, the student judiciary of Tufts University voted officially to recognize the Tufts Christian Fellowship as a club, Christian club, because they wouldn't accept homosexuals. They wouldn't bow down and cow down to that agenda. And eventually, they were restored through court. They went to court and they got restored, but you know, they were shut down initially just because they didn't want to take homosexuals. In 2011. Much closer, a Fort Worth, Texas high school student was suspended from school for saying, "I'm a Christian and I don't think being gay is right," during a class discussion. That was a class discussion. Supposed to be an open discussion, right, about homosexuality, and whoever disagrees gets thrown out. And of course, the few teachers who still believe in the concept of academic freedom, there aren't many, but the few who still do, they don't have it any easier than students. Back in 2010, a professor at the University of Illinois was accused of hate speech, and he was relieved of his teaching duties for teaching, get this, the Catholic doctrine on homosexuality in his indoctrination to Catholicism class. Okay, he wasn't himself taking a stand. He was teaching a course on Catholicism, and as part of that course, he was teaching what Catholics think about homosexuality, and for just teaching the facts of what Catholics think, historical data, he was relieved of his duties, kicked out. Now, since much of the homosexual agenda has already been implemented in parts of Canada, if you want to see where America's headed, just look at Canada. Way back as far as 2002, in Alberta, a former pastor named Stephen Boyson, who was also the head of a Christian organization, sent a letter to the local paper on the issue of sexual orientation. Now, he sent this to the local paper. How many of you have ever written to the local paper about an issue? Okay, so he sends this letter to a local paper. 2 weeks later, a teenage sodomite was beaten up in that area where that paper was distributed. And this guy, this pastor, was charged with violating the human rights law because they said the letter he wrote to the paper likely exposed that boy to hatred and contempt. This despite the fact that Boyson had never advocated violence of any sort in his letter, and he made a went out of his way to say he's not against homosexuals who are, you know, in conflict or homosexuals that are having problems. He's against the movement, the homosexual machine, the militant movement. He made a difference between those two in his letter even. But still, he was taken to court for violating human rights laws because this guy got beat up 2 weeks after he published that letter. His case went to court. He lost. It was a 5-year battle, and he ended up losing. It was back in June 2002. This is what he wrote to the paper. He said, quote, "The following is not intended for those who are suffering from an unwanted sexual identity crisis. For you, I have understanding, care, compassion, and tolerance. I sympathize with you and offer you my love and fellowship. I prayerfully beseech you to seek help, and I assure you that your present enslavement to homosexuality can be remedied. Many outspoken former homosexuals are free today." Instead, this is aimed precisely at every individual that in any way supports the homosexual machine that has been mercilessly gaining ground in our society since the 1960s. "I cannot pity you any longer and remain inactive. You have caused far too much damage. My banner has now been raised, and war has been declared so as to defend the precious sanctity of our innocent children and youth that you so eagerly toil day and night to consume. With me stand the greatest weapons that you have encountered to date, God and the moral majority. Know this, we will defeat you, then heal the damage you have caused. Modern society has become dispassionate to the cause of righteousness. Many people are so apathetic and desensitized today, they cannot even accurately define the term morality. The masses have dug in and continue to excuse their failure to stand against horrendous atrocities such as the aggressive propagation of homosexuality and bisexuality, inexcusable justifications such as, I'm just not sure where the truth lies, or if they don't affect me, then I don't care what they do, abound from the lips of the quantifiable majority. Face the facts, it is affecting you. Like it or not, every professing heterosexual is having their future aggressively chopped at the roots. Edmund Burke's observation that, quote, all that is required for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing, has been confirmed time and time again. From kindergarten class on, our children, your grandchildren, are being strategically targeted, psychologically abused, and brainwashed by homosexual and pro-homosexual educators. Our children are being victimized by repugnant and premeditated strategies aimed at desensitizing and eventually recruiting our young into their camps. Think about it. Children as young as 5 and 6 years of age are being subjected to psychologically and physiologically damaging pro-homosexual literature and guidance in the public school system, all under the fraudulent guise of equal rights. Your children are being warped into believing that same-sex families are acceptable, that men kissing men is appropriate. Your teenagers are being instructed on how to perform so-called safe, same-gender oral and anal sex, and at the same time being told that it is normal, natural, and even productive. Will your child be the next victim? Come on, people, wake up. It's time to stand together and take whatever steps are necessary to reverse the wickedness that our lethargy has authorized to spawn. Where homosexuality flourishes, all manner of wickedness abounds. Regardless of what you hear, the militant homosexual agenda isn't rooted in protecting homosexuals from gay bashing. The agenda is clearly about homosexual activists that include teachers, politicians, lawyers, Supreme Court judges, and God forbid even so-called ministers, who are all determined to gain complete equality in our nation and even worse, in our world. Don't allow yourselves to be deceived any longer. These activists are not morally upright citizens concerned about the best interest of our society. They are perverse, self-centered, and morally deprived individuals who are spreading their psychological disease into every area of our lives. Homosexual rights activists and those who defend them are just as immoral as the pedophiles, drug dealers, and pimps that plague our community. The homosexual agenda is not gaining ground because it's morally backed. It is gaining ground simply because you, Mr. and Mrs. Heterosexual, do nothing to stop it. It's only a matter of time before some of these morally bankrupt individuals, such as those involved with LAMBLA, that is the North American Man-Boy Lovers Association, will achieve their goal to have sexual relations with children and assert that it is a matter of free choice and claim that we are intolerant bigots who do not accept it. If you are reading this and think that this is alarmist, then I simply ask you this: how bad do things have to become before you get involved? It's time to start taking back what the enemy has taken from you. The safety and future of our children is at stake. Reverend Stephen Boyzen. And of course, that pastor had to finance his own legal defense, which I said lasted 5 years. But the pervert who took him to court didn't have to pay a dime. All he had to do was accuse this man, and the government took it from there, because the government wants to silence all those who hold the same kind of views this pastor holds. The government persecuted that man because what he said. He did no crime. He committed no crime. He didn't encourage anybody to commit a crime. He didn't threaten homosexuals with any physical violence just because he said he didn't agree with it and he's going to fight against that agenda. That was enough to convict him of hate crimes through hate crimes laws. And that kind of legislation has already been passed here in the United States. Very soon you're going to end up in jail if you so much as look cross-eyed at a homosexual when he walks by you. My question is, are we ready for that kind of persecution? Are the Christians in this country ready? Are you ready? People are already losing their jobs. They're already being kicked out of schools. And they're being taken to court and being fined simply for saying they believe sodomy is wrong. This is just the beginning. It's going to only get worse. And the homosexual agenda isn't just being implemented in this nation by pro-homosexual congressmen and senators and judges and corporations and school teachers and so forth. It's being implemented all over the world. And unfortunately, America is playing a key role in that implementation. Below is an excerpt from a recent article explaining the new pro-homosexual memorandum from President Barack Hussein, given to all those foreign people who are in foreign lands to try to pressure other countries to accept the homosexual agenda. I'm just going to read you a portion of this, and there's a link here where you can get the rest of it. It was dated from March 30, 2012. It says, U.S. State Department to force gay agenda on foreign nations. It says, the Obama administration has announced that it is taking the unbelievable role of pushing the homosexual agenda around the world and punishing countries that don't comply. Back in July, this website reported how the Pakistanis angrily denounced the U.S. embassy's open homosexual parties as cultural terrorism. Well, that was just the beginning. Now, foreign countries which seek to protect their citizens against homosexuality and the homosexual movement will be actively confronted by America's State Department, Foreign Service, and other federal departments, according to a presidential memorandum released by the Obama administration on December 6th. The directive, titled International Initiatives to Advance the Human Rights of Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Persons, is subtitled Memorandum for the Heads of Executive Departments and Agencies. It outlines the Obama administration's orders to various departments, including the Foreign Service. Unless countries around the world subordinate their own social and religious values to U.S. demands that they embrace homosexuality and the homosexual movement, they can expect interference from the U.S. government in their own internal affairs and punishment using foreign aid and in international converse, trade banking, travel restrictions, and so forth. Mirroring the homosexual lobbies and the left's traditional tactics, Obama is characterizing this as a civil rights quest for homosexuality and transgenderism. In the memo, Obama declares that America will be targeting foreign countries having laws or customs which criminalize LGBT status, which don't allow LGBT pride celebrations, or allow other discrimination against homosexuals or transgender behavior. Obama also repeats the homosexual lobby's mantra that there is widespread violence and murder against men and women and children for their perceived sexual orientations, causing him to act. But he is not giving specifics. He just simply says in a memo, quote, "I declare before heads of state gathered at the United Nations, no country should deny people their rights because of who they love. Under my administration, agencies engaged abroad have already begun taking action as we, the United States, bring our tools to bear vigorously to advance this goal." That's America. That's how low we become. Not only are we a bunch of sodomites and pro-sodomites, we're exporting it forcefully around the world. We're making other countries accept it. As I said last week, the beast owns America. America is not the beast. The beast is so much bigger than America, but the beast is using America, using our wealth, using our political clout, using our resources. We're being used by the beast to advance its global government agenda. And part of that agenda is helping militant sodomites achieve their goals in every nation, not just in America and Canada. Now, in light of the worldwide effort to subjugate the nations to the power and desires of homosexuals, it's interesting to read what the angel says to John about the ministry of the two witnesses in Revelation 11 and the city in which they're killed. This is what the Bible says. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn their blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom," which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, "where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth." Now John says the city where the two witnesses are slain is spiritually called Sodom. Sodom and Egypt. You think maybe the angel's trying to tell us something there. Maybe he's letting us know that militant homosexuality, which was the main characteristic of Sodom, will also be one of the main characteristics of Satan's final global empire. See, I think such an assumption becomes even more reasonable when you realize that the thing that torments homosexuals the most is the judgment they face from God's word. See, these two prophets tormented the people dwelling on the earth. They tormented the people of Sodom, of the city spiritually called Sodom. They tormented with God's righteousness. They tormented with telling them that God is a just God and God's going to judge the nations. And they give the people of the earth, this city, a little taste of that judgment that's coming through the plagues and the drought and all that. And they're tormenting these people. Well, like I said, one of the things that torments homosexuals is the knowledge that God hates what they do. They know God hates the sin of homosexuality. It's all through the Bible. That's why they hate God. That's why they hate Christians so much. The holiness and the righteousness of God torments their conscience. They would love to live in a world that is free, not only free from God and from every influence of God, but free from even the memory of God. The God who created heterosexual relationships. The God who forbids homosexual relationships. See, they hate the God who condemns homosexuality as sin and promises to punish that sin with eternal torment. And they hate the people who remind them of that kind of reality. So quite frankly, I can't think of anyone or any group who would rejoice more when the final witness of God to mankind has been silenced than militant sodomites. Now Leviticus 20:13 says this, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." Now, when you commit a sin that's worthy of death, whose head is the blood on? It's yours. It's not a civil right to commit adultery. It's not a civil right to murder others. It's not a civil right to steal your neighbor's property. And it's not a civil right to commit fornication and homosexuality. And if a law says you go to jail for committing homosexuality, like there was laws in the books of all 50 states up until just about 60 years ago, every state had a law that the least of it was you went to jail. Sometimes they had laws that still have on the books to put to death for sodomy. If that's the law, then whose fault is it if you get killed, if you go to jail? Whose head is the blood on? It's your own head, because it's illegal. It's not a civil right. It's not an issue of rights. It's illegal. It's a sin. It wasn't for no reason that God told Hebrews to put homosexuals to death. There's a reason for that. The reason is the Lord saw the end of the matter. He knew what the end of the matter would be with these people. He knew with the spirit that drives them, that homosexual spirit, that perverted thing that drives these people, he knew where it would eventually lead, them and society. See, he knew something we still refuse to understand or admit, that if you let homosexuals flourish in a society, they will eventually gain control of that society, and once they do, they will permanently silence every person who opposes them or refuses to become one of them. And eventually the whole human race will annihilate itself. Now anyone who's read the statements of radical sodomites, these activists, they know from their own statements that their goal is to silence anybody and everybody who opposes their agenda. Permanently silence them, whatever that takes, especially Christians. These people are not playing games. We're the ones who's playing games. While Christians have been tolerating and showing mercy to homosexuals, homosexuals have been busy taking control of our government and our schools. Right now, they're teaching millions and millions and millions of children, many of whom come from Christian homes, to be sodomites. From the day they enter school to the day they graduate, 12 years of indoctrination into pro-homosexual material. So while you're trying to show your homosexual neighbor love and trying to deliver him, he's positioning himself legally to be over you, to be your master, to eventually steal your children from you, take them from you, turn them into homosexuals, and then put you in jail. Christians are dumb. These sodomites have gotten themselves in a position of authority. They're passing laws every day that give homosexuals not just equal status, but privileged status. And once they've gained complete control of the nation, you're going to see their real face. And you can bet they're not going to be returning the love we've given them. Instead, they're going to force the children of the very Christians who tried to show them love to become sodomites, and then they're going to throw those very Christians into jail. And I know I can hear some of these wimpy Christians and preachers saying right now, "Oh, but not all homosexuals are militant. Not all of them want to kill us, normal people. How can you lump them all together?" You know, I hear the same argument from these same kinds of people, deluded, wimpy Christians about Muslims. Say, not all Muslims are terrorists. Well, maybe so. But if a Muslim doesn't denounce and speak out against the implementation of Sharia law in this nation, then guess what? They're no different than the terrorists, because they all have the same goal. The same goal, which is to overthrow the Constitution, to institute the tyranny of Islam and Sharia law. And they're all just as guilty. Whether you do it peaceful means or you do it by terrorist means, it doesn't matter. Well, the same is true as homosexuals. How many homosexuals do you hear speaking out against the militant homosexual agenda that's being forced down the throat of Americans right now? How many gays are out in the streets marching to defend the rights of heterosexuals to believe and live as they want to want, as they see fit? How many sodomites do you see lobbying the NEA to let teachers give as much equal time to heterosexual sex education as they do to homosexual sex education? How many homosexuals do you hear on left-wing talk shows, left-wing TV shows? How many of them do you hear preaching tolerance towards those who disagree with their views? The answer is zero, people. Zero. Well, guess what? If they're not denouncing and speaking against the gay agenda that wants to silence and persecute anyone who disagrees with them, if they don't speak out against this agenda that wants to annihilate the family unit, then guess what? They're just as guilty of advancing that agenda as the rest of the militant sodomites are. There's no difference. And the same is true of all heterosexuals who refuse to speak out against this movement. Now, the other week, the president of Chick-fil-A made the mistake of publicly announcing that he was against same-sex marriage. And the homosexual activist groups, you know, they all went ballistic and started various campaigns and writing vicious, you know, bitter letters towards him. And you know, the poor guy has come under a lot of pressure. This coming Wednesday, the militant homosexual crowd all over the country is going to have a kiss-in at the Chick-fil-A restaurant All the Nation. All these homosexuals are going to go over there in these stores and they're going to kiss in front of everybody, flaunt their sexuality. Now, when that happens, do you think there's going to be any so-called tolerant homosexuals at any of those rallies who are there defending the civil rights of heterosexuals, like the president of Chick-fil-A, to believe and live and run a business the way he sees fit? You think there's going to be any tolerant homosexuals who are going to stand up for our rights? Well, don't hold your breath. And when the real persecution of Christians begins in this nation, and it hasn't begun yet, this has been a low-level, low-intensity persecution. It's going to break out into real persecution one of these days. And when that begins, I want you to look for all these peaceful, tolerant, harmless gays to come to our aid. See how many come to your aid. You know, when the persecution of believers really starts by militant gays, all those Christians who spend all that trying compromising with them and trying to love them into the kingdom and trying to help them, they're going to wish they paid a little more attention to what God said in the Bible about homosexuals and about the sin of homosexuality and how destructive it is. Of course, then it'll be too late. And of course, Mr. Cathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A, he turned out to be just another wimpy Christian himself. He couldn't take the political pressure that was being put on him, and he caved. And I got a little link here. This article explains the whole situation, how it all started, and what he said recently, and how he caved in. And I'm afraid you're going to be seeing a lot more of that kind of thing in the very near future, see, because like the prophet said, if you have run with the footmen, and they have tired you out, then how are you going to compete with the horses? That was Jeremiah. In other words, if Christians were too scared to stand up to the sodomite footmen who couldn't do anything to them legally when they opposed their agenda, what are they going to do now that the sodomite horsemen have come who have the power and the authority to cast you into prison whenever you oppose their agenda? If you couldn't fight the homosexuals when they didn't have any power over you, how are you going to fight them now when they do have power over you? This homosexual agenda is dangerous. It's militant. It hates God. It hates you. It wants to seduce your children, your grandchildren, and wants to seduce everybody. It wants to have the civil right to have sex with anybody or anything, anytime, and anywhere it chooses. And it wants everybody that opposes that value system to be permanently silenced. And those are the people running this nation and are running our schools. And that's the wickedness that we want God to come and judge. Because you see, every year that goes by without God judging this nation, millions more children enter a school system and become indoctrinated into homosexuality. Millions more souls every year are lost, are perverted beyond redemption. And so the sooner God judges this nation, the better it will be for us. That's all there is to it. Amen? Okay, that was it for tonight. We'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.